Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Maddie B. And so close, last week we talked about sweeps and getting things very close. So the Canes get swept. The Stars came back. And then I think they ended up losing last night. Because I hate... All right, so let's just say this. We had two sweeps. The Lakers got swept. And the Canes got swept. So, of course, my Stanley Cup dreams and going to a parade went down the drain. So then the other ones, of course, the two sweeps don't happen. Celtics battle back. And the thing that really annoys me, Vegas ended up killing them last night, is I know that the NHL and the NBA have their schedules like set up. But when you're the only major sports on right now, you don't think that they could have some contingency plan where instead of having all of the games on the same day, they could stagger them for me, right? Because I go a day like having nothing to watch, and then the next day I'm like trying to watch hockey and basketball at the same time. Because I had thought for sure the Celtics, there's no way they're coming back. And then, of course, they make it all the way back to Game 7 and they choke it away. And Tatum once again disappears. He says he got hurt. It's like, all right, buddy. Paul Pierce came out in a wheelchair. And he proceeded to win the damn game. So I don't know how bad Tatum got hurt. I think he played most of the game. Maybe I'm wrong. But just to getting blown out in Game 7, I thought that was something... does it say? He had an ankle injury, I know that. But I don't even know how many minutes he played, if this even says it. But I'll just say that I hate the ESPN thing where they split half one series on ABC and it's like easy to watch. And of course, that's the one that was swept. And so then the Celtics are on TNT, which is hard to watch when you don't have cable, you know? So I'm like watching with like the preview or whatever, and then it disappears. You have to redo the preview like 100 times until watch the game. It's like, why are you making it so hard for me, man? Just put it on stream like for free. You have a TNT app. You run ads. That's what I don't get. You run ads. So they make money from people watching it, but then they also don't run it. And then they complain that no one watched it. It's like a cycle of like, I don't even know what I'm gonna say, but yeah, I'm gonna say something probably stupid, but we'll just say that I hate it. And when we talk about college football stuff later, I'm just glad that the Big Ten's getting away from that side of things, and most of them are going to be hopefully into a more NFL model where the games are just on regular TV, or until now when they're doing the one streaming one. I just hope that the Steelers or Packers don't end up on that streaming game. But the Celtics were the fourth team. I sent you some stats on this. They were like the fourth team, I think, to battle back from 0-3, and all four teams have lost in Game 7. That was the first one where they got him at home. The Heat weren't even an 8 seed, though. In the old playoff seedings, the old playoff system, they would have just been the 7 seed. Because I was thinking, were they actually a wild card? Because like that would have been wild if they were like the 9 or 10 seed and they make it all the way to the finals, right? But no, they were the 7 seed. They lost the first play-in game, won the second one, so they ended up being the 8. Otherwise, that would have been the opening series against the Celtics, and who knows if it would have went the same way. But now you have what I said was going to be a ratings disaster with the Heat playing the Nuggets, so we'll see how that goes. For hockey, you have Vegas playing Florida, which I would think is another ratings nightmare. I don't even know if Carolina would have been that much better. But we'll see how they go. I know the ratings haven't been that good. They were higher whenever LeBron was still in it with the Lakers. Because, I mean, like I said, they pulled the upset. No one watches the early rounds when there's not, like, when there's a big upset like that. Everyone tunes in. Now, if the Heat win, I think they'd be the lowest seed to ever win it. We did the stats a few weeks ago. I'm not going to bring it up again. But... that's like the one thing. You could have history, but will people care? I know. I feel like the Celtics choked it away after beating the Sixers coming back, and they had a chance. I told you it was going to happen. I felt like beating the Sixers was their finals. And then they just lost focus and started jacking up threes. So dumb. Anything you got for high tempo? Or you could talk about basketball. I'm sure you probably didn't watch it, though.
Didn't watch it, but definitely feeling stronger about T-ball season right now. Trying to work on Jedi mind tricking my kids into practicing. I'm finding it's harder to get kids to do stuff than to just lay around and watch TV.
But aren't they already at practice?
Well, we had practices, and now that we're in game mode, we're not having like regular team practices. It's just there's so many games now that are starting that trying to get just on our own, you know, like trying to be a decent parent. Like, we're going to practice so that you're better for your game. And it's like I have to come up with all these side tricks and hustles to get them hitting off the tee and trying to work on coach pitch.
I thought you were going to say kids would come there and have their own phones or tablets and they'd just be sitting in the dugout playing.
Honestly, that might not be a bad idea. Bring your tablet to other than like filling your hat with gravel.
Well, see, I would say back in the day, I know playing like sports video games really taught you how to play like in some of the roles. Cause like if you tried to like do something stupid, it wouldn't let you, you know?
Yeah.
And so then you kind of learn like, oh, that's an infill fly, you know, things like that where people, they don't know. Because if they don't like, because how many times have you seen infill fly rule, you know, not that many times, I don't think, in a game. But if you've seen it in a video game, because you play like 10 games or like sped up, you know, then you're like, oh yeah, I've seen that before. It's like when the Pirates guy last year where they got in a pickle instead of stepping on first base, he tried to run all the way down first base. And then, like, he threw to the catcher, and that guy scored. And then the guy ran all the way to first, and there was no one covering first, instead of just getting the force out, you know? It's, like, dumb. Like, get the force out. What are you doing? Just touch a bag. did you see the one, was it a high school, like, state championship? Where it was, like, whatever, would have been strike three. But the catcher dropped the ball, right? And he reached for the tag. And the ump said safe. You can clearly see it in the video that the ump behind him said safe. He didn't touch him, right? And he points like to the out first base ref, right? Or ump, whatever they are, the umpire. And then he runs out to the mound and they start celebrating. Meanwhile, you can't see that ump on the field. So I don't know if he called him out, right? Because the coach came running in and he was freaking out. Like that the other guy called him out, but the guy behind home plate clearly called him safe, like he missed the tag. So the guy that was batting, he ran all the way around the bases while the other team celebrating on the mound and scored. And so did the other kid on the bases, and they lost the state championship by one run.
Oh.
So they were down one. There was a kid on like third base or whatever. They were trying to just hit him in. I don't even know where he was. But since the catcher missed the tag and then ran out and celebrated on the mound, and they didn't know he had the ball, so he's like on the bottom of the pile. It wasn't even a big pile, but then one of the other kids realized that he was running over the bases, and he said, like, he went to cover home and said, like, throw him the ball, but it was too late. And so the kid just ran. Could you imagine, like, how many kids even have the headspace to just keep running? Because, like, even if... Like, they scored the first run. Like, I think most kids would have, like, stopped at first, you know, and just, like, played it safe and took the tie game. But he's like, nah, I'm winning this baby. I'm running all four bases until they run and tag me. And then he made it. And they were back-to-back state champs because of that. And the tweet was like, hey, back-to-back state champs, but don't ask us how we won. It's like... So if you haven't seen it, look it up and see, because it was pretty funny. And I just thought that the coach coming out and complaining about it was almost like, if the ump, and I, like, some parent might have been filming it, but if the other guy called him out, wouldn't that supersede it? But in, I mean, obviously it never got to that point where they were celebrating a state champ. So the home plate umpire overruled everything. Crazy.
That's crazy.
That's the kind of T-ball stuff you need to be teaching your kids. Just run no matter what.
Yep.
And then you be the coach. You got to teach them to be smarter than the other team. Like, hey, whenever that kid starts to swing, just start running a little bit. They're not going to call you out. It's T-ball.
Now, and, you know, I need to make sure that I'm framing this correctly, because I don't want people to have this impression that we're out here, like, hitting till he has blisters all over his hands. Like, all I'm trying to get out of him is just 5-10 minutes a day of just some kind of practice towards getting better. And hoping that little bit of focus over time.
Are you doing conditioning? Like running sprints?
No.
See, I feel like sometimes that's a good team building activity because then everyone hates the coach.
But it's funny because we had pictures before our last game, and I think the kids were just exhausted from running around before pictures while we were waiting for our turn to have photos taken.
Now, did you stand in the middle?
I was in the back.
In the middle, though? Like, you're the center?
No, I was not the center.
I didn't know if you wanted, like, to be the center, and you're like, guys, get around me real quick. Because I think Deion Sanders, he would have been the center of his team photo. Right?
He might have, but I was in the back row with my dad, so I got my dad helping coach. The old generals back patrolling first base.
So, do you think that parents treat you unfair, like as unfairly as the media treats Deion Sanders?
No, because I think that there's a very fine line that it would be very easy to join the people that are just casually watching the game and not being voluntold that they're the coach.
Well, that's the move you should have. If a parent comes gets in your face, you should just give a whistle. You should get a whistle. And you just ceremoniously hand him the whistle and say, go ahead, take over. And then you just go sit down. And then that guy looks like a huge jerk, right? Because he's holding the whistle. Because he's not going to say, like, no, I don't want it, right? Because if he does say that, then you're like, go sit down. But if he takes the whistle, then...
No, you just be like, no, you owe me up-downs. Get him dropping. Just start up-downing parents.
You need a whistle. I'm going to get you a whistle.
I have a whistle. I have a Fox 40, buddy.
I don't know what that is.
That's a top-of-the-line whistle, buddy.
That's like Stradivarius, buddy. I don't know. It's not my venue, bro. I don't know whistles.
Oh, well, maybe you should.
Could you blow it in outer space?
Neil Armstrong would hear it when practice is over.
Not even affected by gravity. It's like one of those pens. You know, like the pen. It works in space. Oh, man. Anything else you have?
No.
I did have one other random note about the NBA that I forgot to bring up. I'm still baffled at some of, like, the officiating. That's like, I'm not sure, like, why they do so many, like, ticky-tack offense things. And if I watch, like, year-round, I think some of it would be like, how did people not think this is like the WWE? Because like it was almost set up like the Heat were supposed to win game 6 because Jimmy Butler ran down. Celtics were up by like 2, I think. He ran himself into the corner, lowered his shoulder into Al Horford, which to be fair, Al Horford should just let him run in the corner and be like, what the hell are you doing? He throws up a wild shot. And I thought, like, well, this is ridiculous. So they review it to see if he initiated enough contact or whatever for the offensive foul. Of course, they were like, well, no. But it was a three-pointer, so he got 3 foul shots for it. Which, granted, on him, I didn't think he was going to hit all 3 of them. But he did, and they had the win. And I thought, well, this game's over. But I was just thinking, like, it just seems like, how do you just reward a guy that's running down crazily out of control into the corner? I feel like at that point, the officials should watch that tape and be like, yeah, that should never have been a foul. Like, why are we rewarding him from doing a stupid move?
Yeah.
It's almost like if when Chris Webber did that timeout, if the official would have stepped in and said, like, ref's timeout, like, you're out of timeouts, buddy. Like, don't call one. It's like, oh, why are you bailing out? Why are you bailing out Butler here? Like, just let it go to game seven at this point because it was crazy. But then the Celtics win on a tip back anyway, where there are still 3 seconds on the clock after that crazy shot. Because I think what he was trying to do was try to drive it down and open up a passing lane in the middle. But no one was there. So he kind of just threw up the shot. And they were like, yeah, 3 foul shots. But Marcus Smart missed it. And then the putback. And even the announcers were like, oh, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. And I was thinking, I think it did count. And it was almost like they expected the Heat to eliminate the Celtics that night. And then they were like, oh, no, they're saying that the Celtics did win. And they were like all shocked by it. And I thought, like, you could have fooled me. You couldn't have fooled me. Like, I know you don't really want the Celtics in the finals at that point, but you could have told me that that was scripted and I would have believed it, except for the putback. It was almost like I'm not saying the players are in on it. I'm saying it's very easy and it's been proven that the officials for the NBA bet on the games. And I would think that the Heat winning, with them being an 8 seed, has to have a lot of movement on the gambling side. So I think a lot of people are betting on the Celtics to win or something. And they're just like, hey, let's just end it with the Heat right here. And then when that putback went in, they were just kind of shocked. And they're like, holy shit, the Celtics did go to a game seven. And then, of course, Celtics didn't show up on game seven at home. Which, who does that? Like, crazy. But that's what I had in my notes. I was kind of like, am I watching this?
That was almost like a Sixers move. Like, force it to a game seven and then lay an egg.
It would, like, the way the penalty worked, it would be like if Tom Brady saw a defensive lineman coming at him, he throws the ball and then just, like, lowers his shoulder into the defender and spins around real crazy. And they're like, oh, yeah, roughing the passer right there. And it's like, Tom Brady initiated that. He did that himself. But in the NBA, it's like, no, that's fine. That's fine. He was throwing the ball up as he lowered his shoulder into the dude. Like, yep, foul. Because there was one before that, too. It was like, I think it was Horford again, where they're like, yeah, Horford went right up and they called a foul anyway. And I was like, what? Like, I thought they were reviewing these or, like, trying to stop the flopping. It's, like, ridiculous. Like, you almost, if you can flop, and I think Harden was great at it, that if you can flop and make the basket, then they have to almost call the foul on the defense, right? So kids should these days, everyone's trying to be Steph Curry. You should just be, like, setting up chairs and other things in your driveway, running into them and just throwing up crazy shots and just start making them. Because, like, that's what the NBA needs. They need dudes that can just throw up crazy shots. But
that'd be crazy. You're, like, driving through someone's neighborhood. They're just running, like, the Ultimate Warrior through a bunch of chairs.
It's like, you know how they have, like, the tackling dummies? They make their own version of just, like, chairs and, like, things in their driveway. It's like a bunch of kids running through. Like, you know how the old layup drills? It's like 5 kids just running through. They're, like, getting plowed and just drilling the ball up in the air. It's like, oh man, he can make anything. That guy right there. And they have, like, the coach, he's just tackling kids. That's what you need, like the T-ball version of that. You just volunteer and you're just crushing the kids. Like, get up, man. That's not a foul. Lower your shoulder into me. But that's my basketball topic for the day. I'm trying to think what else I had on here. Oh, how could I forget? My man, Tom Brady. Is he coming back, Matt? Right? Tom Brady buys a piece of the Raiders. Garoppolo has it in his contract that if he doesn't heal from his injury, his contract is, like, void or whatever. Like, there's some type of thing in there where he gets paid something, but he's done. Like, they don't have to, like, have him on contract, which makes me think that he can just, like, medically retire or whatever. Which, if that happens, Tom Brady's right there. And I saw a lot of articles immediately get written by, like, not, like, big NFL sources, but, like, random other, like, sports sites where they were like, oh, there has to be an owner's vote. What owners would vote for Tom Brady to come back? It's like, I think a lot of them would. Right? Because, like, a lot of the hype is if Tom Brady's playing. And I think a lot of them would look at this Raiders team and say, he's not a threat to me. Right? Because would you be the coward that voted no?
But I think this is an ideal situation for him because McDaniels is going to run the New England offense. So it's not like he would have to learn something like a new system. He would just go back to what he was doing in New England.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, he comes right in. Perfect. He owns the team like everyone speculated with the Dolphins or whatever. He gives up some ownership time or whatever. But, like, it's not like they're not going to let him have it back. Right?
Yeah.
I think the ownership part, if they vote him in the ownership, then someone was saying that they can't vote him to play until October or something. That's like when the next owner's meeting is. But it's like, you don't think they could just have 30 dudes get together randomly that are all rich, that are just could fly their jets to like one location or even just do it virtually these days and vote at any time just to let Tom Brady play? Like, if the networks were like, hey, we'll give you guys some more money if we can get Tom playing Monday night, and they're all owners, like, they're going to be like, nah, pass on that, dog. They're going to say, yeah, let Tom play for the Raiders. And I don't even think he needs to be back. Like, I've been saying for a while, he's old. Let him sit out half the year. If the Raiders are in a position to make the playoffs, then he can jump right in. Because, like, I'm sure he already did the rookie quarterback camp. Like, he's doing football stuff. You can't tell me that he's, like, not working out. Like, he just gets, like, he's, like, 300 pounds coming in. He's like, sup, guys, me, Tom. I fired my diet guy. It's great. It's like, I don't work out anymore. I'm single. It's the bachelor life. It's like, oh, what are you doing? Like he, like, looks like Russell Crowe. You ever see like Russell Crowe, how much weight he gained?
You just come in and be like, I'm on the Subway diet now.
Like, at some point in your life, I think most guys go through that where it's just like, yeah, I'm done now. I'm done. Like, I just don't care. Like, you're gonna, like, do you, what happens? Like, do you ever get back to that spot where it's like you're doing stuff, it's like you're working out? But I mean, it's something like Russell Crowe. He probably has tons of money, right? He was in shape for the Gladiator. Like, is he catfishing ladies out there? Is he married? I don't even know. Maybe he just gained weight for a role that I saw. Because, like, didn't Brendan Fraser do that?
Yeah.
Wasn't he the guy in The Mummy? I don't know. I don't even know all these actors. But I saw him being, like, super fat. But I think that was, like, he played the part. So, like, will he ever lose that weight? I would assume not, right?
Yeah, I would assume not.
It's not like you hear a lot about guys that are getting like super fat, like as they get older, and they're like, you know what? Now they're like super ripped. It's like, now they kind of just fade away. That's like your last role, and you just hope you don't have a heart attack while you're filming that movie. Like, I put on too much weight. I definitely don't want to die. That's all Tom has to do now, because it's like, is he compulsively working out? Because there's no benefit. Before, it's like, hey, if I'm just a little bit more in shape, I might not get crushed. I might be able to escape, you know, a little bit. I might be a little bit faster. But now it's like, yeah. Do I need to do this last rep? Nah. Let's just turn it off. Wonder what's going on online. I own the Raiders now. You think he's going to get a Mark Davis haircut?
that's gonna be his initiation.
They have a team barber. He's out there. That's when you know he's letting himself go. He comes in with the hair matching haircuts. I should make a photo like that. I wonder if I could do that. It's like, hey, Tom joined the Raiders. First day on the job.
So it's like, give him a Munson kingpin.
That's almost what it is. Oh, man. Anything else you have from the NFL? Hopkins. Yeah, for whatever reason, why did they cut him? Because
they were trying to trade him, and nobody wanted to absorb. I think his contract was like $22 million. Nobody wanted to take on his contract.
So it's $22.6 million dead cap hit. But then they also get a little bit of salary cap left. And then something next year happens. But it's like, it's crazy that you have that happen. And now he's like, what? He should be free to get picked up, right?
Yeah.
His contract's open and the Ravens are coming right out. We know how much you love them. What if your boy Lamar gets a great contract and Hopkins in the same offseason? Will you be okay?
Well, yeah, because he'll still just be done in the first round of the playoffs. So they'll lose wild card weekend. It's like Bucktober.
If they make the Super Bowl, should we watch it together?
Well, we're going to watch the Super Bowl regardless, you weirdo. We're not communists.
No, I'm saying we get together and watch it like at the bar or something, just so you don't hurt yourself after. Because if he lifts that Lombardi up, where is the Super Bowl this year?
If he lifts the Lombardi up, he may get hurt.
Where is the Super Bowl? Location 23. I don't know what year to look up. It would be London. Wait. Oh my God. I hate search results these days.
London.
Yeah. Las Vegas. Perfect. Tom's home location, Matt. Didn't he win one with the Bucks that way?
Yeah.
So maybe that's his thing. He figures out where the Super Bowl is, and that's the team he plays for. I don't even know. That's the secret. When you get super old, you don't want to travel far. So you're like, where is the closest I can play? Right there. Boom. I'm going to go ahead and sign that in. Because I was looking to see. It's like, so yeah, Las Vegas, then it's in New Orleans. And then they don't know. They gave one of the, what was it? Oh, the draft. One of the draft locations in the future is going to be in Green Bay. And the Packers said that, yeah, we only do one big non-football event at the stadium. And one of the years they couldn't do for the draft because Wisconsin's playing a football game there. And I was like, that's a big time event, you guys. Wisconsin football. But I guess it would be. You would think that they would do concerts and stuff there in the summer, right? Because like the whole thing with the Packers is that it's local owned. It helps that town. And if they would ever move away, like no one would know where Green Bay is anymore, right? So like, why wouldn't they have events there? What was the one that they just had? I forget what stadium it was. They had an event and then they had to change like the turf twice. And I was thinking, why change it for the event? Who gives a shit if it's a concert, man? Like, right? Why are you getting the grass ready for this concert? It's going to be a bunch of drunk people like falling all over themselves. Like the pit? Are you serious? Like, I saw Metallica in, was it Miami Stadium? I don't know what the hell their stadium is. The Dolphin Stadium? And I was down on the field. Could you imagine? That was in July. So could you imagine if you were like, hey, Metallica's coming. We got to get this turf ready for those fans. We got to get it. It has to be fit for Tom Brady to play on down here. It's like, why would I care? It was still muddy as hell. And there weren't even that many people, as many people as I thought would be at a Metallica show. Like this, it was nowhere near being sold out. So, we got right down and I was like, do I even want to go down there? I kind of just want to sit in like the seat, you know, because then you have to stand the whole time. But then I thought, well, it's Metallica. Let's go do our thing, you know? But yeah, there are a lot of people down there, but like half the stadium fills up. I saw the Stones at Carter Finley, NC State Stadium. And it was kind of like, I think was there in the summer too? Maybe I can't even remember at this point. But I remember like them making the field like a big thing. But I was like, does it really matter? Like for one concert? Like, I don't know how long it takes to get the field ready. I don't even know if that one's artificial turf or if it's grass, but not a big deal. Let's see. Anything else you got for the NFL?
No, I was just surprised that Hopkins was released. Cause I feel like with the amount of people that Arizona's let go, like, They stumbled back into like a rebuild, and I didn't think that they were far away from being competitive in the NFC for as wide open as we talked that they were. I thought, oh yeah, like Arizona's going to be in that discussion, and it's like just giving everyone away.
Yeah, I kind of got off topic there with the tangent. Who knows what the hell I was even talking about? With the Cardinals though, I think my thought is they don't trust Murray. They don't think he's a guy. Do you think that's why they did the rebuild?
Probably, but I also think like there's organizational issues because of all the stuff that they had to. When you're like publicly broadcasting, we had to put in his contract to, you know, do the things that we think he should be doing. Don't play video games for 20 hours a day. Like when you're having to publicly like write that into a contract, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Cause they got rid of Kingsbury. I didn't think he was that good anyway. Right. So I don't know like what direction they go. It's not like there's a deep bench of like coaches that run a modern offense like that, that could work in the NFL. Like Urban Meyer's not getting another chance. Plus, he's more of like a power run type spread, not so much of like a Kyler Murray type spread.
Yeah.
So like, where do you go? Do you try to get like Lincoln Riley? That'd be a weird move. Could you imagine? He jumps at the Cards and then Kingsbury just takes over USC. It's like, all right, nice swap, guys. Lane Kiffin, do you bring him up? Because he's still like, people would still consider him immature, right? For the NFL. Because he's a little bit too outspoken that they want for a head coach. They like clean cut guys that kind of don't talk, you know? I don't think they'd ever go with Lane Kiffin.
Again.
Yeah, you know?
I mean, possibly, but I wonder if he doesn't have it, feel like he's in a good spot at Ole Miss. And, you know, he's been around the carousel at the NFL and collegiate level long enough to know that, you know, Ole Miss really likes him, and I think he would have a lot of wiggle room there as far as expectations and things like that. That why, if you're in a good spot, why would you rock the boat?
Well, see, we could talk about what you think their position's going to be, because I think he's in a horrible spot. You're bringing in Oklahoma and Texas. You're already Ole Miss. I don't see any situation or scenario where Ole Miss can ever elevate their program to be consistent contenders in the SEC. Like, their time to win has to be now. Because, like, they have to step up. They can't let Kirby Smart take over. And we don't know what the new schedule is going to be like. I have on here, ESPN's been fighting with the SEC, and I know I've seen both sides leak out. Feinbaum, which is basically, he's an ESPN talking piece about the SEC. He leaked out that, what was it last week, that Florida State's not as attractive as what they think to the SEC. And that he's not talking about to the SEC. He's basically saying that ESPN's not going to pay them more money to join the SEC. It's flat out what he's saying. ESPN's saying to the SEC, we don't care if you go to 9 games. We're not going to pay you more because we don't care. They only have so many games that they can show. And the way that ESPN's contracts work, They have the SEC. They also have the Big 12. They have the ACC, and they have the Pac 12. So if the SEC is playing 9 conference games, yeah, great. They might be able to show one more SEC game, but they also want to keep showing those other conferences because they're paying less money for them. They don't want them to be upset. They don't want them to try to leave. Because then you're in a situation where you don't have that backfill content. The one thing that I sent you were the Big Ten. The Big Ten's in the power position right now. And to just show you how much of a joke it is, they recently did their draft for like TV picks. We talked about it a little bit, like a week or two when it happened. So NBC's doing like their primetime picks. Their first 3 Big Ten primetime games are West Virginia at Penn State, which we knew. I think that's going to be their whiteout, right? Or no, Iowa's their whiteout. It's a 3:30 game. So Penn State's not even expecting West Virginia to be competitive with them for a whiteout. That's the first primetime game. Week 2 is Charlotte at Maryland. You know how hilarious that is? That the primetime game is Charlotte at Maryland? Charlotte's going to be in a primetime game on NBC. There are countless ACC programs that haven't been in primetime in years, Matt. Years. Can you imagine? They're like, hey, we're going to put Charlotte on the big time. And I know Notre Dame gets a lot of like other programs randomly in the big time. Maryland's been in the prime time because they get the beauty of getting beat by like Ohio State and Penn State and Michigan every year. So they get elevated up. But like, let's be honest, a lot of times those ACC Pac-12 teams, they're never in the prime time. Like, can you, like, just off the top of your head, like, can you remember when like an Oregon State would have been in prime time? Washington State, even when Mike Leach was there, they were always Pac-12 after dark. Like, they might have been in prime time maybe one time a year. And this is where the beauty of the Big Ten contract is. Because, like, if you're looking at, hey, I'm Florida State. I can go to the SEC. And it's like, hey, what can you guys do for me? They're like, yeah, you're going to have to take a lower pay. It's like, okay, well, what else do I get? Well, that's it. Like, what are we going to do for scheduling? Like, we're going to get any, like, cool games? Like, nah. You're going to be, like, low on the totem pole. Meanwhile, the Big Ten's like, hey, Florida State, like, look at this. We're having to show Charlotte at Maryland right now. You guys could be doing anything that you want. Like, right? Why don't you schedule Florida early in the year? Like, right now, play Florida, Florida State. We'd love to show that on NBC on primetime. Right? Like, we'd love to get Miami in here with you guys. And you guys could play your rivalry game, like I said, Thanksgiving weekend. Move some of your non-conference games. Like, let's get a Miami-Pitt game early in the year that we could show in primetime. Like, we're showing West Virginia at Penn State. Like, let's get some other, like, non-conference games that aren't, like, super big, but ones that we can show in the primetime. Because the first week, or the second week, we're showing Charlotte at Maryland. Week 3, we're showing Syracuse at Purdue. Purdue, Matt. Purdue's been in primetime more often than Florida State has. That's all they have to say. Purdue's been in primetime, like beating Ohio State, playing Michigan for whatever reason. It's like, how is Purdue landing all these primetime games, Matt? I guarantee if you look up the numbers, Purdue has to be ahead of so many programs just because the Big Ten, their television contract tracks better. Like even Ole Miss, how many times has Ole Miss been playing Saturday night in primetime? And I mean primetime on like regular TV, not ESPN. ESPN games are not like the premier games because they're on cable. They never get the viewership. NBC is like the premier game. Usually like it's like Toledo and like other weird games that Notre Dame plays until their meet schedule, right? So like the Big Ten, like Michigan and Ohio State, whoever they play, they elevate too. But like that's a big time game where the Big Ten's putting out here saying to these other schools, like, look at us. Purdue's getting more FaceTime than you in an NIL era. Maryland's getting more FaceTime than your program. The ESPN and the SEC, they're not offering you more money. They don't want you at all because they don't want, their commissioner came out and said, like, we kind of don't want expansion because they don't want the Big Ten to nab more of these teams. They don't want the Big Ten in the South because they're already making more money than the SEC. If ESPN's not going to pay them for more content, we haven't seen the actual numbers on Oklahoma and Texas joining. So all we've seen is speculation. ESPN's still making layoffs, dude. Where are they getting this extra money to pay more than what the Big Ten's getting from three networks? Remember, they have no leverage. SEC has no leverage. It's not like they can go back to CBS and say, hey, you want to float us some more money? It's like, no, they signed an exclusive deal. They basically did what buried the ACC. Everyone's talking about how great their contract is, but everyone was talking about how secure the ACC was 10 years ago, right? So 2030 rolls around. If the Big Ten is making a ton more than the SEC, don't be surprised if some of those SEC schools start to waver. Because it's not going to be great being in a conference where you're making a ton less money while the other conference is going national. And wouldn't it be funny if they just kind of were like, nah, we don't care. We don't want you guys. It's like, because they're not going to take all of them, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to, like, they're going to cherry pick the top schools from every conference. Even Oregon and Washington, they're begging to get in. Begging to get in, and the Big Ten told them you have to come in at lesser shares. Rutgers still isn't getting full shares. Nebraska still isn't getting full shares, I don't think. And Maryland. So Oregon, add Oregon and Washington to the list. Maybe Florida State and Miami. If the SEC says no, taking lesser shares to be in the Big Ten is still going to make you $20 million more than the ACC. They're going to sign up. That's what Maryland did, right? Maryland just got out before everyone else and everyone called them dumb. Now they're playing Charlotte on primetime, September 9th at 7:30 p.m. Primetime, Matt. Heck, some Big Ten programs don't even get primetime that spot. It's like, I don't know why they picked Maryland, but I think it's hilarious. Biff Poggi, Michigan's old coach, or his, like, the football advisor, he's the head coach of Charlotte now. I was talking to a guy in the fall about him. I was like, this is going to be great. They're supposed to have that joint practice with Michigan. Maybe I'll take a ride down and go check it out. Like, that's what I'm hoping that happens going forward. Because, like, the Big Ten needs to take the next step now and start winning more national championships. I really think USC and UCLA is going to put them over the top. Because the Pac-12 always had that, like, Conference of Championship or Conference of Champions commercial. Remember that thing? Where it's like, hey, we win horse racing and all this stuff. A lot of that was UCLA. The other school was, like, Stanford. So if UCLA joins the Big Ten and keeps winning all their national championships and, like, track and stuff, same with USC, the Big Ten will be the Conference of Champions. All they need to do is start winning football. And with NIL stuff, Nick Saban came out and he said this week that you do not want to start paying players because there's going to be a clear divide. And he said, like, I'm telling you, we are going to exploit it. Please don't. And it's not just the SEC, because I'm telling you, if Rutgers is making more money than every other school and all these other conferences, they're eventually going to start having more athletes than these other schools. There's going to be a more of a power one, maybe two, depending on the SEC payouts, because we don't know, other than what ESPN keeps saying. They keep saying how great they are, but they haven't released the numbers. That's the only thing that gives me pause. Like, show me the numbers, and then I'll shut up. Right? Because the Big Ten made $10 million more per team this year than the SEC. Rutgers is making $10 million more than Ole Miss. It's got to be hard for Lane Kiffin to compete. It's got to be hard. That's all I'm saying. So why wouldn't he look around? Why wouldn't Lane Kiffin say, you know what?
Because it means more, that's why.
Maybe it will be a little bit better if I go to a place like Wisconsin. I mean, Luke Fickell waited around to go to Wisconsin, Matt, because he saw the current system of the Big Ten West, and he thought, these guys are always there. They just have to beat Iowa and make sure Nebraska keeps losing, right?
Yeah.
And then maybe Purdue, Northwestern won a championship, but it's mainly Wisconsin on the West. Now, with those other teams coming in, I think they're waiting to see what the SEC does with scheduling. Because if they stay at eight games, I think that keeps the power in the Big Ten, because you're going to be able to say to the other conferences, like, if Florida State joins the SEC, they're having an 8-game schedule. Who are your other games going to be? Like, how is that going to be an improvement over your current schedule, right? Because you're not getting a bunch of power teams on your home schedule if you're only playing 8 games, right? You're going to split the SEC. So you might get Florida at home. You're like, you'd what, get 4 home games? It's not like you're going to get Bama, Georgia, Florida, and like Tennessee or something. You're going to get Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, maybe Missouri, and Florida. Like, is that much better than what you're getting with the ACC? Right? I in terms of people buying tickets, everything else you have to schedule out of conference. And if the Big Ten's taking all the power teams and they say, you know what, we don't really want to schedule with the SEC, then you're going to look even worse.
But maybe that's the route you go, is that if you have enough teams that they can lock the conference with as much SEC that's on ESPN, you're going to get that bump in terms of the play, like getting into the playoffs. And when there's no question in the SEC that you'll have at least one or two top matchups that are going to help with determining where your seeding is going to be. Cause you can say, well, we didn't play a fluff schedule. We played all these tougher opponents.
Well, that's where I'm wondering if that's what the Big Ten's like end goal is. Cause like, I don't think with three networks getting together, I don't think they want to kill the lower leagues. Right. Cause I think they realize how valuable that is. And like, let's be honest, like, Michigan doesn't want to kill like Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan. Like, they don't want to kill those other public universities, but they also want to make sure that they have a chance of like being successful more so than like the Alabamas of the world. So like, if Michigan's in the Big Ten and they're all getting together and they make a national conference, it's like what, 24 teams? And you do like 6 pods or something, or 4 pods of 6 teams, you could do an 11-game schedule and just play within your conference. You play the 5 teams in your pod, and then you play one other pod, and then you play one local team to help them out. So like Pitt plays like, or Penn State plays like Temple or someone, and Michigan plays like Central Michigan. Michigan State would play like Eastern Michigan. Then the next year, one of them plays Western Michigan, you know. And you say, like, this is going to be our thing. We're so big at this point where we're a national conference. Like, then you're playing every side. You can keep it regional, like whatever's out west in that pod or whatever that division, and then like the eastern side. But then you're playing every team every 3 years. So anyone coming in as a freshman, you're going to get to play, even if you leave early for the NFL, you're going to get to play all of the teams in the conference. And that's just like one scenario. They could do even more, like a bigger version of that somehow. But then you're getting into like more crazy things. And that's if they even want to have a name, a conference champion. Because like, I'm sure NBC, CBS, and Fox would rotate a semifinals game between like the two pods or whatever, and then a pure Big Ten championship game or something. I don't even know what they would do. I still think the Big Ten should just do a championship weekend with the 12-team playoff, and you have the top 8 teams play a showcase weekend, right? Where whoever has the top 2 schedules, they play against each other, then the next 2 records, then the next ones, and the next ones. Whoever wins the top game is conference champion. Everyone else kind of just slots themselves for the playoff. So if you have 11 wins, you have a chance, one, maybe like one more, to get 12, like your Penn State. Because like this year, there's a chance that Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State could all be 11-1, right? They could all beat each other. Who goes to the playoffs? Because in that scenario, it goes by like the tiebreaker would be like the Western side, and the West side of the Big Ten kind of sucks. So like the difference could be like a Nebraska having 6 wins puts like Penn State in or something. And then Ohio State and Michigan are there, and they have no chance to better their resume to make a 4-team playoff. In a 16 playoff, I mean, or a 12-team playoff, it might not really matter as much. But I still think when the conference gets so big, why not collect more paychecks if you can? And the reason I started talking about this random stuff, because I feel like it's heating up again. Colorado and Deion Sanders. Did you hear this rumor? The rumor is that Deion Sanders has been speaking with either the president or the athletic director about a move to the Big 12 because he wants to get into Texas recruiting. He thinks that Colorado hasn't been able to get back because they lost their Texas recruiting ground going to the Pac-12. And I'm thinking, like, Deion Sanders is making this call? He hasn't even been there a full year. Like, if it was like, because like Jim Harbaugh's been there forever and like they were trying to like run him out or whatever. He's off two playoff appearances. If Deion had two back-to-back playoff appearances where they lost and he said, you know what? We just don't have enough talent. We need to get back into Texas. I think a lot more people would listen other than he's been here for how many months? 7, 8, maybe tops. I don't even know when he got hired. It's like, I figured it out, guys. I've been pounding my brain here. I've been doing all these press conferences, but I figured it out. We got to join the Big 12. We just got to do it. We got to do it right now. It's like, all right. Because if Colorado's a team, did they start the movement last time out of the Big 12, or was it Nebraska first? I don't know. I can't remember what the timeline was. Now, because like going forward, I just don't know, like getting back to the Big 12, I don't think the Big 12 is going to kill itself, right? Because there are other TV networks and things like that of, hey, we need to do this and we need to have some type of filler content. So that it's not like they're ever going to get rid of these smaller conferences. And like I said, the best way to kind of just go forward is to have everyone stay Division One. If they go ahead and split the Big Ten apart and just have one football, like Big Ten championship is the national championship, I think that's going to be too weird. Even if they add in, like, I think you'd have to add like 64 teams. And I think that's too many. Because if you just do 32, I think people are going to be really tired of college football really fast. Because like personally, I think if Michigan went that route with the Big Ten, and let's say NC State gets left behind down here, I think I might start paying more attention to NC State more. Because like, do I really care that Michigan's playing like the same teams over and over again? And they're like making the playoffs at 7-5, you know?
Well, it's almost like you want to try to, if you're trying to maximize the number of teams to get in the playoffs, you almost want to just have like the scheduling set up so that you can have a run. Like get some of those early higher ranked matchups so that you can say you have quality wins and then have your cupcakes toward the end so you're healthy and you're ready to go for the playoffs.
Well, that's what I'm thinking is like, what can they do like going forward? Like if they make their own playoff, yeah, that may make them a lot of money, but you're losing how many like fans of smaller schools that just won't care. Like if you went to Pitt and they're left behind, you're not going to start liking Penn State just because they're in their own.
Like, oh, they're in the geographic area that I want to be in.
Oh, yeah, that's my team. They're my local team. I'm going to watch them in the college Super Bowl playoffs, you know? It's like, no, I'm not going to watch that. Like, you can't just cherry pick the top 32 like teams or whatever. Because, like, even if you take one from each state, I still think just watching, like, the same games over and over again, I think it loses its luster. Like, I like watching Michigan play Ohio State in basically everything just because winning at Michigan again won 13 Big Ten championships this year. I think that's the same number they had last year, which is the record, I think, for the conference. But, like, start winning some national championships. If you're in, like, this weird conference where the wins are devalued and the losses are devalued, I'm not going to care. Like, I'm going to start tuning out. It's going to be like the NBA. Too many games that don't matter. I don't care. Right now, I know Michigan has to probably go 11-1 to have a chance at the playoffs. And it depends on the tiebreakers. Because if they have that weird three-way tie and like Penn State or Ohio State plays in the Big Ten championship, I'm going to be begging for them to lose that game so Michigan can sneak in. Right? I'm just hoping that whatever the tiebreaker scenario is, that Michigan has a chance. If they break away, Michigan could be like, oh yeah, the Penn State game doesn't matter. I'm not going to watch this weekend. I'm going to go camping. It's like, oh yeah, that game doesn't matter. I'll probably not watch it. Like the Ohio State game, it's not going to matter if both teams like are going to be in the playoffs every single year, you know? So I did bring up the timeline. Colorado did break the Big 12 apart. They left on June 10th, 2010. Nebraska left the next day, June 11th. So there was already some movement, but they were the first two to go. I thought Colorado left first because it was a weird move because Colorado was promoting, or the Pac-12 was promoting Utah with them, right? Because Urban Meyer like rose that program up, and then I think Whittingham's been there since, right? There might have been another coach in there. I can't remember. But they were trying to expand, and they grabbed Colorado, which was a great move, I thought, at the time. And I honestly thought that if they would have did some type of Big Ten alliance back then, they waited too long to do it. They could have did the Rose Bowl alliance and just had a power conference of like whatever, 12 plus the Big Ten had like whatever at that time, 12 with Nebraska. Then they took Rutgers and Maryland after that to get into the New York market. Like they could have had a 24-team conference before adding Rutgers and Maryland, and it would have been a classic all-coast conference, you know? Now I don't know what's going to happen, but I think that's pretty much all the notes I had for the show today, though. The big ones is like the Deion Sanders stuff, because is he leaking stuff? That's what I'm wondering. Because, like, ESPN's leaking out that they do not want to pay the SEC any more money than what they have to. The Athletic's reporting that they don't think the conferences are going to keep expanding because it doesn't make sense. Like, that's why I said the only option would be is if the top programs from all the conferences got together and they broke away. But like I said, I don't think people are going to care to watch that. And a lot of these smaller schools then that are state schools, do they just get sucked up? Because like if you're Florida State and you have UCF and you in like South Florida, and I mean UCF has like the biggest enrollment in the state anyway, does like the governor board of like the governor of Florida make all of those schools just become like Florida State Central, Florida State South, you know? Like that's like a weird school thing where that's the only way it could work is if there's only one school in each state. Because, like, I really don't think if a kid goes to Central Michigan, why would he just randomly start cheering for Michigan State or Michigan? You know, or, like, Pitt's the best example because Pitt's a big school, or, like, even Penn. Like, people go to Penn or, like, the Ivy League now. Like, they go to Harvard. Do you think they're, like, diehard? I don't even know what the closest school would be. Like, are they just diehard Rutgers fans? Like, hell no. Or Boston College. Where even is that school? I don't even know. So, and I know they're all in the Northeast, but, like, they don't just pick a new school to cheer for. Unless they grew up watching it. Like, I just don't know. So, my thoughts are, I think the Big Ten wants to be its own power conference, making a bunch of money, still competing in all of these other sports. Maybe some other schools will keep joining them, but I really don't think they're going to break away at this point. I don't think they want to. I think they just want to have the power to pay students because then they can start paying for recruits and they're going to say legally. And then it might go back to like the 1940s where a lot of random Big Ten programs are winning like national championships, right? Because they're just picking and choosing who they want. And it's not like, hey, don't hold a camp in Georgia. That's illegal. Michigan, Harbaugh, you can't come down here. That's illegal, brother. You can't be in Alabama recruiting. Get out of here. Shoo. It's like, hey, we added Florida State. We're definitely holding some camps in Florida now. I'd be like, all right, perfect. That's all we need. Add Georgia Tech next, and then we're good. Call Texas and Texas A&M and say, you guys want in, brothers? And they'll probably say, like, nah. And then the rumor is that TCU's been still begging. Because I've heard that from a couple different people. That if the Big Ten gets into Florida, obviously Texas is their last move. Because they got into California now. They can shore up the West Coast with Oregon and Washington. I've been hearing from some connected people that, like, the East Coast, North Carolina schools, they know they can probably have their pick. They definitely want it to Florida. So look for Florida State and Miami. I'm telling you both, because I think that they want to lock in that recruiting ground. They know. Get Georgia Tech, maybe North Carolina, maybe Virginia, I don't know. But then the last ground was going to be Texas. If they can get into Texas, and if Texas and Texas A&M both say no, just invite TCU, Texas Christian.
I think it'd be funny for Texas A&M to peace out after fighting to get into the SEC as soon as Texas comes and be like, nope, see you later.
Well, that's what I want to happen. Because Texas was all bitter. They had their Longhorn network. They kept bragging about, like, A&M. Yeah, we're still making as much money as you guys, whatever, blah, blah, blah. A&M had all the recruiting. If I'm the Big Ten, like, I maybe take, because like, I think Texas is a take no matter what. Because, like, let's say in 10 years, the SEC, like, is like, hey, we want to take our top schools and just merge with the Big Ten. I think Texas is never going to be left behind. Same, like, I don't think Michigan would ever be left behind unless they pull a Chicago and, like, literally drop the program for whatever reason. But, like, I would be voting against that person going to the board, you know? I'd be like, there's no way. Like, if they do, like, an alumni reach out thing, there's no way I'm letting that happen. And I don't think I'd be alone, right? So, yeah. Like, Texas isn't the same thing. They could go independent, but there's no way they're left behind. A&M could be left behind. They have a ton of money, but I think that could be a way where it's like the Big Ten leaks that they're close to inviting TCU and they're going to make X amount of money. And then just slyly, someone reaches out to A&M and is like, hey, we would have preferred you guys. You know, it's like a guy that gets a girlfriend and then he's like, he uses that as his chance to like hit on the girl that he really liked. That's like way hotter. He's like, you know, I just always had a crush on you. Cause he's like, if I get shot down now, it's not like an embarrassing thing where I'm just like this single loser guy. It's like, I can just shoot my shot and then I go back to my other girlfriend, you know? Right. It's like, that's like what it would feel like. And if A&M, like, could you imagine if they had played Texas and A&M, they both asked them at the same time. And A&M was kind of like, nah, we kind of like it here. And then the next day you hear Texas leaving to the Big Ten, the meltdown that they would have. Because I don't think they want to be making less money than Texas. But I'm telling you, if Florida State and Miami come to the Big Ten and they start to get into the South, Texas is really the only other recruiting ground that they need. They need a central pillar, right? They would have the East Coast. They would have the West Coast. They would have the Midwest. They need that central pillar like into Texas. Like, I don't think LSU would ever join or want to join, you know? But Texas, that recruiting ground, they would need a team there no matter what, whether they take like a Houston and try to reach. But like, I think Fox definitely is going to be angry about losing Oklahoma and Texas because that's who used to broadcast all the Big 12 games with them, right? So Fox is probably going to be willing to overpay to get one of those schools back. That's just my thought on it. Any college football things you want to talk about or even going back to the NFL?
No, I think that's about all I have for tonight.
Yeah, I didn't really have much else either. Getting back into the conference thing, we'll see if anything happens. Watch, we'll go to next week's show. There'll be like no update. And then there'll be nothing to talk about. Cause like
we'll still have softball because Lady Noles will be advancing in the College World Series.
Did they? I saw Wake Forest got the one seed in baseball. Who won the ACC? Was it Clemson? I forgot to look that up before the show. because you probably didn't follow this. Yeah, they did. Wait, Clemson to host baseball regional after ACC title. Yeah, so they did win it. That's Michigan's old coach, right? And so some stuff came out recently saying that he didn't really want to leave Michigan. All he asked for was like some like smaller facility upgrades. And Michigan shot him down, which really pisses me off. Because apparently when he left, he took a recruiting coordinator. And for the Big Ten, Michigan was recruiting by far like one of the best in baseball. And everything fell off when he left. And so to read that report and then to see them, because I know early in the year they weren't doing too good. And I was like, maybe it could work out. But not knowing how many other guys and like just guys around the program that he took with him and he didn't want to go. That's such a slap in the face. And I don't even know how the athletic director, like all the scandals that he's had, because they hired that, they hired Schembechler's son and they didn't vet him. And he was apparently like posting racist stuff online, which how do you not know that, man? Like you have to have someone in your social media team that's like, hey, we're going to hire this guy and we're going to announce him. You want to like do a little background check real quick? It's like, no. So like having all these things and have to put all these fires, you had the hockey program issues, the basketball issues, and now the baseball coach that took you to a national championship game. The Big Ten's like they were in and they won a game there. They're one game away from being national champs. And the Big Ten hasn't won it in forever. Like Michigan's one of the only schools up north to even win a baseball and softball national championship. So to have a chance to win another one. And you tell the coach, like, no. In the NIL era, when all he needed was new facilities and they probably could have competed and kept winning the Big Ten, and why not help with the visibility? Because, like, right now, they're with Michigan softball coach retiring, legendary coach, she stepped down. I think they're out. I think they lost. They fell off this year. So now their baseball program, I mean, he didn't retire. They let him go. So just to read that report, and now Michigan's like doing nothing right now other than talking about the old Big Ten championships he won and getting ready for football. It's kind of disheartening. And that's another reason why I would welcome Florida State and Miami in. Because getting other schools that are coming in and just cleaning your clock in baseball and other sports, I think would be eye-opening. Plus, it would definitely help with softball. Because like right now, Michigan was like the only program that was even coming close to competing in the Big Ten. So having a team like Florida State to kind of push Michigan a little bit more to getting back to that national level, I think would be good for the conference. That's just my read on it. And the ACC really doesn't do much either, right?
Yeah.
I know like Oklahoma's been killing it. And I don't think any other teams, like even in the ACC baseball, like Wake surprised me getting the number one seed because like ACC baseball hasn't really been winning much, right? In the College World Series.
No, I mean, it's been predominantly Florida State making it, but not finishing it out.
Well, it's hard to kind of win it. Like I said, it's kind of crazy that like even Michigan making it a couple years ago, but like the softball titles have been UCLA, Arizona. So UCLA coming in will be a big boom. Oklahoma, like I said, Arizona State, Florida, A&M, Bama, Cal State Fullerton back in the 80s, Cal, which I don't think would take Cal, but maybe they would. Then Florida State, Fresno State, Michigan, and Washington. So mostly West Coast. Actually, the only East Coast schools to win it is if you consider Bama East Coast would be Michigan, Bama, Florida State, and Florida. Everything else has been Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and further out west. And A&M haven't won it since the 80s. So having a Florida State come in with UCLA and with Michigan, I would assume that would be the best softball conference, right?
Yeah.
Why not? If you add Washington too, you're going to have, there's only a handful of teams on here that have won titles. Maybe you'd have the SEC with Oklahoma and Florida, Bama and A&M. that have a couple teams, but they don't have anywhere near as many titles as UCLA. I think UCLA coming in, same with like college basketball, everyone talks about, maybe North Carolina can join the SEC with like Kentucky and they'd be a basketball power. It's like, or maybe they can just, you know, join the Big Ten with UCLA and Indiana, you know? Like, if North Carolina comes, whatever conference are coming in, UCLA has by far the most basketball titles. If you put them and UNC in the same conference, it's by far the best basketball conference. Especially because Indiana's there, Michigan State's there, Michigan's there. Like, come on, guys. What are you talking about? The SEC, you're banking on just having Kentucky. For baseball, I want to say, I'm trying to look and see if they have, their list isn't as clear cut. But USC has the most titles, and followed by Texas, LSU. So just having USC and UCLA coming into the Big Ten, I think that hopefully lights a fire under Michigan coming in. Michigan has two titles, and then the appearance that they lost in 2019. So Clemson hasn't had any. And that's what I was saying earlier. Like I was saying, Clemson's not a big time baseball school. I don't even know off the top of my head. I don't see any ACC schools on this list for titles. Wake Forest, 1955. Virginia, 2015. I guess Virginia did win it recently. But that's it. It does have best performance by conference. The ACC has two titles. The Big Ten has six in baseball. How? Right? They can't even play half the year, Matt. How is that a thing? The Pac-12 has 18, but 12 of those are USC, and they'll be in the Big Ten. So just chalk that up to Big Ten being the best baseball conference. We'll go ahead and settle that right now, Matt. But that's how we'll end the show. If you have anything you want us to talk about, let us know. It's the offseason. I'll probably just be talking nonsense for a few weeks until we start to get some more football news. But thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.